Please come on, white Pfizer. America cannot see anything. Police says, stay cool, we'll bring you the white Pfizer. Stay cool, we're in a good position.
Good work, Mark. The Beckham is in this lap. You are next.
Hamilton 3.5, 3.5.
Okay, I don't want to know.
Hello, welcome to GPCast preview of the 2010 British Grand Prix. Yes, this weekend we'll see Formula One head to the new look Silverstone circuit for the 10th round of the championship. And after the ongoing soap opera, which saw the future of the race thrown into jeopardy, the Northamptonshire circuit begins the first of its new 17-year contract. Whilst it may be the same old passionate fans which deck out the various grandstands come rain, hail or shine, the layout of the circuit itself is all change. And it's all part of the circuit owners, the British Racing Drivers Club's plan to bring standards, to raise standards in line with other venues around the world. So following the signing of the agreement with FOM and the capture of MotoGP in the year, the winter months obviously saw Silverstone undergo a massive overhaul, which saw new grandstands put up or altered, runoff areas improved, and of course a brand new section of tarmac laid. Yes, the circuit length has been increased from around 5.1 kilometres on the old layout to near enough 5.9 to be exact, with many predicting the average speeds will actually be higher this year and the track will become the second fastest circuit on the F1 calendar. So instead of turning left, what have we got? We've got changes at the bridge corner. That's gone now. So heading up towards bridge instead of going left in the Abbey chicane, Abbey corner has been reprofiled in a challenging right kink. I think we're going to have an average speed entering there of 295 kilometers per hour. That's huge, so it should be interesting. And the drivers will also now be forced to tackle a number of new corners designed with this new arena fan-friendly area in mind before rejoining the national circuit and heading down the newly named Wellington Street. Obviously, this move has been conjured up to allow the run-up to Brooklands corner to try and create an overtaking place. So ultimately, this will be the final time that the race will begin on this straight between Woodcote and Copse. Part of the master plan, we'll see new pits, and you'll probably see it in the pictures this weekend, being built towards the exit of the club corner. So out with the old and in with the new at Silverstone. But we better move on, because obviously I'm going to start boring you all with all my facts and figures. So to help me preview the British Grand Prix for this weekend, I've been joined by a usual panel of F1 fans, Gaz, Johnny and Juliet. So, hello. Is everybody looking forward to this weekend's race?
Yes, very much so. British Grand Prix, cannot wait. It's the highlight of the calendar for any British motorsport fan, for sure.
And it should be really special this year with McLaren leading both Drivers and Constructors Championship with two British drivers. Haven't seen that for a very long time.
I think the best way to start this episode is to focus on what I've just said a few seconds ago about the circuit being changed. So from your first impressions, what do you make of the new layout? Do you think it is an improvement on the old configuration, or will you miss the likes of Bridge Corner and that whole complex? And do you think it will improve overtaking?
One thing I don't like is Club Corner. What is the point of buttering it up? I mean, I like the old Club Corner. They've just gone and killed it off. I mean, what was the point?
I think it's a case of letting it have a chance. I mean, I watched the MotoGP there and it was quite a good race. A lot of overtakes there. Well, obviously you can't really compare MotoGP overtakes to F1 overtakes. It's a different ball game. But, you know, there were bumps as well. That made things interesting. I think it was up near the arena section. The new arena section was bumps there. So, I mean, I think it's just a case of giving it a chance and seeing how it goes. I kind of agree with what Johnny's saying about the club. They did mess it up a bit. Why change it? There's no real reason for it. They also changed Vail, didn't they, as well?
I think they've reprofiled much of the circuit. I mean, if you look at the run down to Copse, you know, they've widened that for bike safety in terms of runoff. They, The Beckett's and Maggots complex has obviously been altered. There's a lot of runoff there. They've changed things around, and they have actually tightened store up a little bit as well. Would you say that the changes to the circuit and the surrounding vicinity is probably a necessary evil to help maintain the race's place on the calendar?
I think they've only really changed one sector of the track, really, haven't they?
Yeah.
Which is the Bridge and Brooklyn sector, really. I think it's not, they've still got the essence of Silverstone.
Definitely.
So I still think it should be a very interesting race with the characteristics of Silverstone still intact. But, obviously they needed to modernise, or they would simply, it would have gone somewhere else. We'd have lost the British Grand Prix. So the right things happened. And we've still got a British Grand Prix, and I think we should be happy for that at least,
Definitely. And Jory, you yourself are quite the connoisseur of classic Grand Prix at Silverstone. You've mentioned it time and time again, or you can see some of the old layouts if you look on Google Maps and so forth. Silverstone, if you look through the history, has changed many times, apart from maybe its pits lane being up where it currently is. Do you accept that it just has to, Silverstone has to move with Formula One? It has to move with the times?
No, I don't see any problems with the current pits. I mean, yeah, it's not like Abu Dhabi or the fancy, boring new tracks, but the facilities aren't exactly shabby.
That's the thing, though, mate. They've got to bring it up to standard to compare with circuits like Abu Dhabi, because they're doing this, wow type pits, and Silverstone's like what 1970s, like you say. It's 40 years old.
Well, the garages themselves aren't as old as that.
Yeah, of course. But, the actual layout and stuff, it needs to be brought up to standard, because otherwise, there's a big long list of countries that want F1 Grand Prix. I tend to throw millions of dollars, like Valencia. They just threw money at that.
Yeah,
and it's a rubbish Grand Prix. Yeah, and they're going to lose it.
Should not get placed on calendars just because of, look at these nice posh facilities. I've got a bucket of champers in my youth's VIP box.
The prawn sandwich is good. Yeah.
I just don't think you're being realistic, Johnny. I mean, it has to, Silverstone, like other old tracks, has to bring itself up to spec. And at least in doing that, they're trying to take the opportunity to make the track better. They're trying to increase overtaking. I think we have to wait and see. We won't know until we actually see F1 cars going around this track as to whether it's good or bad. You just can't tell. But I think they've tried to do it as sympathetically as possible, and it's inevitable they have to move with the times.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the overtaking point of view, you could never really overtake a bridge anyway, could you, I suppose, because it was too fast.
Well, I don't know. You had a good run.
Well, it's possibility of overtaking a bridge. Possibility of overtaking... I mean, really, you could never overtake on the old Abbey corner. And you couldn't possibly a bridge and possibly a Brooklands, but if you look at the new section, you've got the arena section where there's like two places to probably overtake, and then three places in that whole arena section where you could possibly pull off an overtake.
Well, I don't know actually. I mean,
and perhaps run down the new
Brooklands. The new section, certainly when the GT1s made the debut there, the drivers didn't believe that it would create the same overtaking as what was maybe thought. And I would disagree. I think Abbey, maybe not so much for Formula One, but in terms of general motor racing, if you look at past races, the chicane itself has created a lot of overtaking. I think Bridge was solely missed, but I would have to side with Gaz Angela by saying that Silverstone has to move with the times. The original question I posed, obviously, we ended up talking more about the pit lane and so forth, but if you look at Silverstone down the years, even the former layout, the one we've just had previously, is a far cry from what it was originally in 1950. The only thing, the saving grace, is obviously the pit lane has always been up where it is currently. So maybe it's maybe a little bit of a shame that they're moving it, but, it keeps the race on the calendar. So we could be like France and not have a race, and I still think that's a disgrace because, you could argue that France, there's no argument about it. It's true. The French are the creators of Grand Prix motor racing. But anyways, right. Well, as always, the British public are set to descend on Silverstone and pack the grandstands in support of their local heroes. Obviously, this year, fans are going to be spoiled with both British drivers in the field having won the past two World Championships. And both of them are driving front-running cars from McLaren. But before we go into detail about Britain's great hopes, I think we should look at the Drivers' and Constructors' Championship and see how they stand. And after two successive victories in Turkey and Canada and the second place last time out in Valencia, Lewis Hamilton sits at the top of the leaderboard with 127 points. However, the boy from Stevenage cannot afford to take it easy as he finds himself only 6 points ahead of his teammate Jenson Button. And also, given his victory last time out, Sebastian Vettel will be hoping to make sure that the second half of the season doesn't turn into an inter-team battle between the two McLaren drivers. And he'll also be out to repeat his dominant victory in last year's British Grand Prix. So, you know, there's Mark Webber still there in touch of about 103 points. The season is still very much open, wouldn't you agree, guys?
I have sure. I mean, even Kubica could still win it.
Definitely.
I think.
Looking down the order, you would really have to say that both Fernando Alonso and Felipe Massa really need a big weekend if they're to revive Ferrari's championship chances. But we'll talk about that later. More on that later. Let's get back to what we're going to say. Back to the British duo, and everything appears to be relaxed at the moment in the McLaren camp, as both drivers attempt to strengthen their teams leading the Constructors' Championship. However, given the increasing media scrutiny which is surrounding the pair's relationship, could there be tension on the horizon? Could it even become visible this weekend as both drivers attempt to win their home Grand Prix?
You see, a lot of people seem to we're really trying to stir up. I mean,
well,
I think Hill's done it.
The reason I've decided to pose this question was after reading Damon Hill's comments earlier in the week, which he said, I quote, Jensen will not be letting Lewis get away with anything between the two British drivers. In possibly the best car, you're going to have a very close and fascinating battle, which is great for everybody.
Yeah,
everyone, but it's just been on simmer at the moment. It's going to start to boil over. This could be the start of the rest of the season. I suppose in a way, though, he is the BRDC president, so in some ways he'll do anything to talk up what might happen on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it is a lot of people talking up. I don't think there's anything on simmer. I mean, I think if you look at it at Turkey, when there was a little clash, they weren't actually was next after that. I mean, it was good fair racing, and they reiterated that. Both of them have said that the same over and over again. It was good fair racing. We'll race each other. We won't crash. There's no worse. I mean, Lewis had a bad time in 2007 when he fell out with Alonso. I mean, he probably won't admit it, but I bet he regrets that he didn't get as angry with Alonso and Ron as he did, and get as emotional about it. And he has said, you know, a few times, I would have done things differently. He's actually come out to this week and said, if I had the chance at 2007 again, I would now blitz that season because I'd know what to do. I haven't got the experience.
You can always look back on your mistakes, and you can always say
exactly
differently. But at the time, it's how you handle them. It makes or breaks you. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything similar. Yeah. I think if there is racing, it'll be racing fairly. I mean, look at 2008. I mean, there was Hecky up there, and I think Hecky got pole, in fact, didn't he? And then Lewis, you know, came up.
He's made a little mistake, and he's
Lewis obviously got him. And you didn't see. I think it'd be the same situation. I think, you know, it'll be a fair race between the two of them. I think they might. Whoever wins out, I don't think they'll be willing to take each other out. And I think Lewis will be willing to take second rather than crash into Button and take him out. And the same for Button. You know, just I don't think we'll see any fighting. And I think the fact that, you know, the teams get on so well anyway, it makes it very difficult for them to fight, especially where the garage is laid out, for example.
Never say never. What does others think?
I think the Alonso and Hamilton problem was caused because Alonso is hot-headed and Lewis at the time, and probably still is, quite sort of immature. You don't have that with Jensen and Lewis. Jensen's very sensible, he's very mature, he's very calm-headed, he knows how to handle things. And Lewis as well has matured a lot in the last couple of years. I don't see those two personalities clashing. Of course they're competitive, they're in the same team, they both want to win. But I would be very surprised if, as Damon describes it, it starts to boil over. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think it will. It's only a matter of time. Because everyone saw it coming with Alonso and Hamilton. They were like, oh no, we're really good buddies. But it happened.
It's a very good point.
No, I'll
be honest with you. If you remember the start of 2007, they did try to play it up to be a great harmonic.
They did a bit, but
no,
like...
No, they did. Let's not lie.
They did a bit, but...
Let's not try and defend McLaren.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to defend it. I'm saying,
and
if you look at...
Bits. Now, I take the point that Jensen's a completely different kettle of fish, and that will help. But when you have two drivers so close as they are, and as the season goes on, and they're going to be fighting for the championship, is Jensen going to simply roll over to keep the harmony in the team? No, he's going to be remembered by what he does this year. If he is able to fight for the championship, he has to take the advantage. And if that means putting Hamilton's nose out of joint, then so be it. Or if it's the other way around, so be it. That's what makes great rivals. You can't just pussyfoot around each other. There will be another moment. Turkey maybe was it, but I still think there will be a more important moment. And let's see what happens afterwards. Let's see if they're really all close together in the garage in a year's time. But we'll leave it at that. McLaren introduced a number of changes to its MP425 for this weekend. And the most notable is going to be the team's blown diffuser concept. However, in a recent interview today, that'd be Wednesday, the team remained cautious when talking up its chances for this weekend, stating that it's going to have to wait and see until Friday to know whether it's going to be able to run the blown diffuser, if it's going to be reliable enough, or if it's had its desired effect. But despite this, do you reckon that Hamilton Button go into this weekend as the favourites? Or will Red Bull's RB6 be the better equipped car to tackle Silverstone's sweeping turns?
If I can just interject, as Eddie Jordan would say, this is also a device that Williams are planning to bring in, the blown diffuser, and they are also not sure as if they're going to run it during the race as well.
Director Sir Michael said he wanted.
Although they have sneaked it on and used it at the Goodwood Run, because they had some.
Oh, that was clever. Very good. Didn't realize they did that.
Oh, I wonder if they'll claim that's just that's for filming. Yeah, a lot of teams seem to do that.
Dodgy.
But back to the original question, just before, I'm going to come back to Williams actually, because it's an important weekend for them. But
So Williams are trying it, McLaren are trying it. I think the thing is, I think a lot of the teams are very cautious now after seeing Ferrari and Mercedes bolt on and go nowhere with it.
That's a very good point. But you would feel McLaren maybe have taken a little bit more time with it, so they might.
Yeah, the thing with McLaren is they seem to be very good at they do a lot. I think they did a lot of the prep work and testing, where they stuck the birdcage on the car and did the flow of his paint. They know how the car works, and their wind tunnel and their CFD models are more calibrated, if you like, towards real world driving and real world aspects. So I think what you'll probably see is that the McLaren will be able to bolt this part of the car and it'll work, which we've seen a lot this season. They put parts in the car and it's worked. And you saw it last season as well. They seem to have a very good development process where they can most of the time when they use something, it will work. So hopefully we'll see the same situation here, but they're quite cautious. And you've also got Horner going out and going, oh, it's not 0.7, you know, which some teams are saying, it's only 0.2. But again, Harder's going to say that, isn't it?
True, but it's going to be an interesting battle, isn't it, between the British drivers at McLaren and obviously Weber and Vettel in the...
We might be talking this up too much, though. It might end up being a Red Bull 1-2.
You never know, and that's the thing. But given the performance has been ripped up with the... We talked about this in the last cast, if you remember, guys, about how the development race in this season has really ripped the form book up. So although Red Bull should head in as favourites, there's nothing to say they will win the race.
You'd still not bet against Red Bull for qualifying, at least.
Well, but, on the subject of betting, I've actually put money on Vettel to get pole and Lewis to win. So that's what I think is going to happen.
Well,
let's
talk about Williams. They have a fantastic record at Silverstone, don't they? And although it's highly unlikely they're going to win this weekend, given that we've already spoken about the introduction of the blown diffuser, do you think that they're on for a good points haul after an impressive display in Valencia?
I think Friday practice will be quite crucial. If they get the blown diffuser working, then I think they'll look all right in the... There's been a myth over the past few... Well, based on the past few years when Williams have made aerodynamically dodgy cars, last year's car was absolutely solid, and the cars have problems this year, and then all the aero's crap rumours have all sprung up. Apparently, it's not the aero; it's a problem. It's basically little problems that add like a tenth of a second out of just lots of little different problems. But it seems that at Valencia, they saw quite a lot of these. They've got a new spec Cosworth engine that's improved drivability. And Barrichello's quoted that they've changed the direction of the aerodynamics. So I think he's had quite a lot of influence there. So, if they get this blown diffuser working, they might be on for a good weekend.
And Johnny, last time out, it was heartbreak for Hülkenberg. Do you think he'll be fired up to do well at the team's home Grand Prix?
Oh, definitely. He's always fired up. No wonder he's called the incredible Hülkenberg. He just needs to go. He just needs to turn green inside that helmet. Because his pit board's green as well.
Well, one man who will surely stand in Williams' way is Robert Kubica, who tonight, it was announced, signed an extension to his deal at Renault to keep him at the Enstone-based squad until the end of 2012. Would you say this is a good move for the Pole?
It depends. I mean, Renault They're up and down in terms of performance in the last sort of 3 or 4 years. So they'll, one year they'll make a, well, when Fernando Alonso was there originally, they made championship winning cars and then sort of dipped and dipped and dipped. And it's a bit impressive.
That's the 6/10, isn't it? That's Alonso's 6/10, though.
Yeah. I do think it's a bit of a risk, but he's a great driver. So if anybody could make that team work, then it would be him.
I think it's a good idea he stayed. He's an excellent driver. He said he's happy with the team. They're listening to him, you know. And you look at what Eric Bullier said. He said they're not sure if they should stop development now or continue development on this car. So as in go 2010 full out or stop and concentrate in 2011. And that question seems to be floating around for Kubica. You know, like go back to 2008 with the BMW where they let him down really, where they had a shot at the championship when they went, no, we're going to do this. You know, and concentrate in 2009 and it just didn't work. So I think that question really is, look, we're thinking about you. We're thinking through things through properly. And I think Kubica noted that and thought, right, this team's got its head on right. It's going places. I can win championships here, which is not far from the truth if it keeps up this way.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point. I think to go back to Reno when you talk about the up and downs, they've had, it is quite apparent. But there's a number of reasons as to why. You know, the Alonso factor was put out there, and yes, it maybe had a destabilizing influence on the team, but you have to say the switch from Michelin to Bridgestone tyres didn't help them. But the most important thing for me is if you look at the last few years up until even last winter there, each year there's been uncertainty about the team. They didn't know if they were going to be in a job the following season. So really they haven't been able to develop as much as they maybe like. They've always been on the back foot. Luckily now the deal with Genie Capital looks set to put the team in a very strong foothold, and I think that's one of the reasons which made Kubica's mind up, the fact that the team looked to have the investment. They seem to have their aero staff in order. They have their wind tunnel reconfigured, so he could really drive the team on. Really, you would feel that Kubica's going to have to make it his own team if he's going to do so, but at the same time you can't win a championship alone, so it'll be interesting to see if Petrov keeps his seat. Going back to what I mentioned earlier on, this weekend is really make a break for Ferrari, isn't it? It's really make a break for title aspirations. Although the team may believe that their upgrade programme, which was introduced in Valencia, will bring them victory before the mid-season break, Felipe Massa wrote in his diary on the Scuderia's official website that Silverstone will be important to test to see if their upgrades have actually worked. So do you think we'll see a marked improvement from Ferrari, given that Silverstone features many of the characteristics of Istanbul, where they obviously struggled? It really is a test for the team.
Alonso's already come out and said no.
I was going to say no.
Basically. That's the answer to that question. Alonso's got his head on, knows what's going on with the team. He's got his head on screwed right. And I think he's looked at the track and thought, nah, not to help us. He's always a very good development driver.
Alonso's response should be maximum.
But Alonso's actual response was, no, it's not going to suit our car.
Really, you've got to look then towards Hockenheim and the Hungaroring and other races. Time is running out for the F10 and Ferrari. To be honest, they've had a lot of bad luck, but they've had a lot of bad luck brought on themselves, you would say, in certain instances. So it's been a disappointing year for Ferrari, given their pace in winter testing and all the expectations of the arrival of Alonso, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
So I think we've got time to mention one more thing, and that's the fact that this weekend's racing driver steward is none other than Nigel Mansell. And I'm sure most of you will recall that the 1982 World Champion suffered a horrible incident during last month's Le Mans 24-hour race. Thankfully, he's on the road to recovery, and he'll surely be a welcomed addition to this weekend's Grand Prix, given that he won Silverstone on 3 separate occasions. But given his comments to the press about Lewis Hamilton the other month there, could Mansell suffer the same scrutiny as Damon Hill did when he took on the role in the Monaco?
I don't think Mansell will be biased. I think he's quite a fair guy, and I think I'm sure he won't be going come on gents too much in the comments box. But he did get it wrong though with the comments on Lewis, and Lewis did put him straight. And I think he's not a big enough man to admit it. He's going to think Lewis is wrong, isn't he? That's Mansell.
I think our Nigel will care about is if there's some good. He won't care about, oh, someone's done this dodgily or
exactly. Good racing. I mean,
yeah. He's not one to mess around.
I don't think he'll start fucking about with, you know, pissing people off. Because otherwise, Lewis got.
Unless they're called PK.
Yeah. Well, it's lucky PK's at racing, because he'd be like, PK, just straight to the pits. I can't see. Well, perhaps he'll go against the Brazilian drivers. Perhaps he'll get annoyed about Senna and Massa.
Or maybe it'll be a boring race, and he'll have nothing to do.
Probably.
Hopefully not. Hopefully we'll have a bit of drama, but you never know.
What's the weather looking like at Silverstone? I think it's worth mentioning the good old Silverstone weather. What we think, what's been said?
Just basically, Saturday and Sunday is going to be sunny intervals, a high of 24 degrees on Saturday, the degrees Celsius, that is, and a low of 15, and a high of 22 on Sunday, and a low of 12 on...
What we really want to know, mate, is will it bloody rain?
Well, it's... it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. So
we've already had a sunny Glastonbury this year. That's unheard of. So
yeah,
sunny Silverstone as well.
Wow. Hopefully, it'll rain. We'll see some lovely wet racing, which is sort of a treat.
Don't get me wrong. It's going to be cloudy, but it generally looks like it'll be okay, hot and humid. If you're going to Silverstone this year, I hope you have a good time. Haven't been for a number of years.
I'm not. I can't afford it.
It's always great. Johnny's also a Silverstone connoisseur. You've been there on many occasions yourself, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't go all the time. Even also the
GP. If anyone cares, the GP cast, three or four tickets to the Grand Prix cast, so we can have some live coverage at Silverstone. That would be greatly appreciated. If you can just email us, we'll be very much appreciated. Or simply go on the forums and say, here's your free tickets, guys. we'd love you.
Anyways, final question. Right, I'd like to ask you, everyone here on the panel, to give me a winner. One word, obviously, and then someone who you think will surprise the weekend. We forgot to mention Force India, who live right across the road. Good luck to them. They are the closest of all the Grand Prix teams. I believe we haven't mentioned them. But, give me a winner and give me someone who you think will surprise.
Hamilton, I reckon. Williams will surprise. I want to say Hülkenberg.
I'd say Barrichello will surprise. Weber to win.
Button to win and Kubica to surprise.
Oh, Button fun! I've won it before, has he? I won it again.
Well, I think we've managed to get through this without too much drama. To Jay Comfrey, yes, and the rest of the BBC team, meet your heart out. Anyways, that's it for this edition of the GP Cast. Enjoy this weekend's race, whether you're at Silverstone or whether you're sitting in the comfort of your own armchair. And make sure you catch us next week for a review on Formula1.net. For all of us here, goodbye.